Now we're holding on Yud Amud Beis by the Mishnah. Now that we've talked about the Yodos of Nedarim, the partial declarations that a person might say, and we talked about the Kinuyim, the various alternate forms of the word Korban or Shavua or whatever that a person might use. So now we talked about at the beginning the idea of being matfis, bedover hanodur, where a person connects the thing that he wants to say is osur, he's connecting it to something else which is osur. So the classic example is that a person says, this food should be to me like a korban. Since a korban is something which is osur for people to eat, at least many kinds of korban osur, we're going to talk about details of that in the Gemara today and tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. More tomorrow, really. But so you can be matfis, you can attach the thing that you're saying is osur to that thing, and therefore it becomes osur as well. As opposed to, for example, we're going to talk about in the next parak, let's say a person were to say, this food is to me like chazer flesh. Now, the rule is, it has to be that if you're going to be matfis, it has to be bedover hanodur, it has to be something that achieves its kedusha through a person's ned. So for not kedusha, but that it achieves its off-limitsness through a person's declaration of a ned. So a korban, for example, becomes off limits for regular use by a person saying this animal should be designated as a korban. Therefore, that's an example of dover hanodur. But let's say, for example, chazer flesh is not. It's intrinsically osur. Therefore, a person says that this food is like chazer flesh, nothing would happen. That's not considered a neder. So now, in our Mishnah and the following Mishnayos, we're going to talk about the details of that, about what's included in dover hanodur and what's not. So the Mishnah says, ha'omer lach kulin sha'oichal loch. If a person says, what I would have eaten of yours should be lach kulin. Now, you actually have two different gersois over here, whether the word is supposed to be lach kulin with a patach, whether it's one word with a patach under the lamed, or whether it's actually two words, loy, or whether it's actually two words, loy or lo, which is the Aramaic equivalent, kulin. But even if we say that, so for example, the Mefardish over here says, has the word law cholin as two words, meaning not cholin. And the implication is, if it's not cholin, what is it? A korban. So therefore, it amounts to saying that what I would have eaten of yours should be considered like a korban. And therefore that would be a valid form of a neder. The Ran, on the other hand, says that no, the correct girsa is without the not as one word, not with an aleph, just with a patach under the lamed, but still the word la chulin, it's still, we can understand it as if he was saying la chulin. You have to remember, by Sfardim in particular, comets and patach sound a lot alike. So when you say la chulin, it can be understood as la chulin, meaning not chulin. And again, it's the same thing, not chulin, rather. What if it's not cholin? What is it? Kodshim. And therefore, so you're being matfis bedavar hanodur, and therefore that would be a valid neder. It's interesting in that connection, by the way, the post can point out a practical halacha that comes out of that. In Rosh Hashanah, in Aseres Yimei Teshuva, we say Zachreinu L'chayim, and they talk about that. Why are we saying L'chayim rather than L'chayim? Why don't we say Zachreinu L'chayim? And the answer is, and the same thing in other tefillas as well, and in tefillas tal and tefillas geshem, for example, we say lechayim v'loy lamavas. Why not lachayim? Based on this gemara over here, or based on this mishnah, if you're saying lachulin can be understood as lachulin, meaning not chulin. Well, the same thing. If you say lachayim, it could mean lachayim. Chas v'shalom, it could be that we're asking for the opposite of life, and especially during Aseres Yimei Teshuva, we want to be careful with the wording that we use, and therefore instead we use a shva, which makes it clear unequivocally lechayim for life. So if a person says lachulin sha'uchaloch, or whether you have the girsa lachulin as one word or lachulin as two words, either way, the point is it amounts to saying what I would have eaten of yours should be considered not chulin. Meaning it should be considered like kodshim, like a korban. And therefore, so he's matfis bedavar hanodur. He's saying, in effect, this food that you're offering me, I'm considering like a korban. That's a valid way of making a neder. Therefore, that food becomes also to him. Similarly, if he says lo kosher, if he says, and again, you have, it's not necessarily, now again, we have it printed in front of us as two words, lo kosher, which means not kosher. But again, according to the Ran, it would be actually one word, la kosher, same thing. So it would mean, again, not kosher, but rather osur. The lo d'che, or similarly, if he says not pure, d'che is the Aramaic word for pure. And can also mean something that's mutter. The Ran refers to, you have different places in Shas. Usually the Aramaic word d'che means tahor as opposed to tameh. But it can also mean, but the words tameh and tahor themselves can also actually mean mutter and osir. We have many times, for example, there are times when we talk about food that's tomei. For example, we have oif tomei, we have behemoth tomei or whatever. It doesn't mean tomei in terms of the dinim of tomei batara, but rather tomei in terms of that you're not allowed to eat it. It's treif. So therefore, it's the same thing when he says lo d'che amounts to saying that this food that you would want to give me is not d'che, but rather osir. It's not mutter to eat, but rather it's osir. The implication is that he's saying that it's osir to eat. Now, by the way, the Ran points out, so what? I mean, there was lots of different things that are osur. You could just as well say that he's comparing it to something that's osur, like chazer flesh. But the answer is, later on in the Masechta, we're going to learn about the concept called stam nedarim lahachmir. When we have a phrase that could constitute a valid neder, but it could also not. Like in this case, for example, if he says law kosher or law d'che, where it could be understood to mean, I want it to be like something which is intrinsically non-kosher, like chazer flesh, but we could also understand it to mean like something which would have been mutter at one point to eat, but now is not, for example, kodeshim that are tomei, then we're going to take the stricter view, and we're going to say that constitutes a neder. So therefore, when he says law kosher or law d'chei, what it means is he's saying that it's something which is osur, and specifically something which is osur, which at one time would have been mutter, and therefore is a davar hanodur. It's something that achieved its kedusha and something that achieved its being off limits through a person's declaration of a neder. So similarly, if he says tahor v'tomei, if he says tahor or tomei or noiser or pigle, or he says it should be noiser or it should be pigle, all of those osir. So all of those would be osir. Now the Ran actually wonders why the word d'che is just the Aramaic word for tahor. Now, there's no question, we already established that you can make nedarim in any language. So why do we need separately d'che, which is the Aramaic word for tahor, and tahor, which is the Hebrew word for it? Why mention them separately? So the Ran brings a couple of possibilities. One is, he brings from the Rambam that actually with tahor, again, wouldn't be that the person says tahor, rather he says la tahor, again, with the lamed before it, which allows us to understand it to mean la tahor, meaning not tahor. On the contrary, this thing is tomei. I'm considering this to be as if it was like a korban that's tomei, and therefore off limits to me.
But lo and alf means not, and what if means yes?
Well, lo lamed vav would mean to him, but we're not talking about that over here. What we're saying is la tahor could conceivably mean to tahor. To something which is tahor, but we can also understand it as breaking down into la tahor, which means not tahor. So the Ran first again is bringing from the Rambam that if a person were to say on this food that it should be tahor, that wouldn't be considered a valid neder, because what's the problem? He's not saying that it's off limits to him, fakir. He's saying it's tahor. But if he says la tahor, then that amounts to saying la tahor. In other words, I am saying this food I can considering for myself as if it's a korban which is not tahor, namely that it's tomei, and therefore that's off limits to me. A korban, remember, is something that's a davar hanodur. A korban achieves its kedusha and its being off limits through you saying this is a korban. And now, what happens when the korban is tomei? Then it's off limits. So when he says,
why can't it be cub? Why tummy?
So what? So if he says tomei, no. The point is that if he were to say tomei, that itself is enough to constitute a nedu, even without the lamed at the beginning of it. Because he's saying this thing should be considered tomei to me, meaning in effect, he's saying this should be like a korban, which is tomei. But if he says tahor, then of course, first the Ran brings from the Rambam that you would have to say la tahor in order for that to work as a neder. If you were to say this food to me is tahor, nothing would happen. But if you say this food to me is la tahor, then that would amount to saying la tahor, which means tomei. So that's the first possibility. So the Ran says, in that case, what it might be is, so why would the Mishnah not put the lamed before it? Because once we mentioned the lameds by the previous ones, la cholim, la kosher, la d'chei, then it didn't need already to put the lamed by every single one. We're meant to understand that the lamed goes before the word tahor. So that could be another. So the Ran, in other words, discusses the idea would be like this. you're gonna have a few different groupings. You have things where in and of itself, the word itself would imply heter. So then only by putting a lamed before it doesn't make it osir. For example, earlier in the Mishnah, if you were to say chulin sha'uich halach, nothing would happen. Because chulin sha'uich halach, fakir, if anything, that would be a shavua. I will eat chulin with you. Chulin itself is not a davar hanodur. It's not off limits because of anything you said. So only when you say la chulin, only then are you effectively saying not chulin, meaning, in other words, kodshim. And the same thing with kosher and dechei and tahor. On the other hand, when it comes to things like tomei and noser and pigul, then the Ran says you don't have to put a chaf before it because all by itself, those things imply something which is off limits. You could say again that tomei could conceivably mean other things that are tomei, namely, for example, let's say food that is intrinsically not kosher, like chazer flesh or something. But again, here we apply stam nedarim lahachmir, and we would say, since there's two possibilities of what kind of osu he means, something that's a davar hanodur or something that's not a davar hanodur, then we're going to go lachumra and say that it is a neder. And then he goes on to say, now the Mishnah is then going to go on to mention things that are intrinsically osur, however, the name doesn't indicate the isur. So the next thing, for example, the Mishnah is going to mention is if a person says, ki'imra, he says that this food should be to me like the lamb, meaning the lambs of the korban tamid, for example. We'll see in a second other possibilities what that means. Now, it's true the korban tamid is off limits to people. It's an ola. Once it's declared as an ola, it's off limits. But the word imra itself does not suggest something which is osur. Therefore, again, you need the chof. So in other words, the Ran says there's a difference. If you have something where the word itself, fakir, should mean something that's mutter, then you need the lamed. For example, if you were to say chulin or kosher or whatever, then you need the lamed for it. If it's also something that could be one way or the other, the word itself may indicate something that is osir, but you can't be clear on it because it might instead, imra, for example, could just mean like any old sheep. Or it could mean like the sheep of the korban, or for that matter, even the word imra by itself could mean I swear by the korban such and such. And that's not a valid shvua. You can't swear by a korban. You can make a neder comparing something to a korban. So then you need the chof, then you need the word ki imra to say I'm saying it should be like the animal for the korban. Then the third group, which is in the middle over here, tomei, noser, and pigle, the word tomei, the word noser, the word pigle themselves suggest something which is off limits. We know that something is tomei, then you can't eat it. We know something is noser, you can't eat it. Pigle, the same thing, then you don't even need the chof. So that would be the difference.
This is Shepsler, is a very old one, you said?
What? I didn't say anything about old. No, so... The word imra. The word imra is the Aramaic word for sheep.
Not an older sheep.
That would be an ayil. An ayil is a ram, is an older sheep. The Aramaic word for that is dichra. No. Yeah. So far again, what we have is if he mentions the word chulin or kosher or dchei, or according to the Ran also tar, and the Rambam also tar, then you need to put a lamed before them in order for it to constitute a neder. So if he says la chulin or la kosher or la dchei, or la tahar, then it would mean that he's saying, in effect, we understand him to be saying, the food that you are offering me, sha'uich halof, that you wanted me to eat by you, I'm considering it to myself as if it's not chulin, as if it's not kosher, as if it's not tahar, etc. And therefore, that amounts to saying that I'm considering it like a korban, which is off limits, and therefore that's a valid matter.
What's the chay mean?
Dechay means pure, literally. It's the Aramaic equivalent of tahar. On the other hand, if he says the tomei noser or pigle, on the other hand, if you were to say any of the words tomei noser or pigle, then the Ran explains, then already you don't need a lamed before them because all by themselves, the word tomei means something that's off limits. The word noser means something that's off limits. The word pigle, same thing. And therefore you don't need a lamed before it all by itself. You say this food should be considered to me tomei or this food should be considered to me noser or pigle, then that's chal and you have a valid name. Then the Mishnah continues, ki'imra. Now, if the person were to say that this food should be considered to me like an imra, now an imra, again, is the Aramaic word for a sheep. So it can mean specifically the sheep of the korban tamid, or or more generally, so first of all, the Ran points out again, first of all, stam the Dorim Lahafmir. So when we have a choice of saying that he means stam a sheep or a sheep of a korban, we're going to assume that he means the sheep of the korban. Specifically, what korban? So the Mefarish says over here it means the mashma, the kevish of the kevis of the tamid. It means the tamid, and Tosfos says the same thing. Or the Rosh and Tosfos bring a couple of other possibilities. It can mean in general. It can mean in general like a sheep for a korban. It can mean Tosfos mentioned specifically. It can mean again. It can mean the tamid. It can also mean like a vlad chatos, the baby of chatos. Most people bring a commoner, anybody except for the kohen gadol or the king. If they have to bring a chatos, they bring a female animal. So a female is always the possibility that can become pregnant. So therefore, and you have dinim about the vlad of a chatos. It's actually one of the five cases where it's mesis. You have to leave it to die because you have a halacha l'moshe b'sinai that there are certain cases involving a chatos, involving an animal that was supposed to be brought as a chatos and can't. And now you have dinim about it.
If it's pregnant.
So there's differences about whether it was pregnant when you were makdashed or if it became pregnant afterwards. There's a whole complicated sugyas about it in Masechta Tzemach. The mother can be brought as a korban. Why not? But the baby you have a problem with. But anyway, so it was in Shlosha Prakim of Rambam a couple of days ago, and it's in Hilchos Psulah Mekdoshim. There are complex sugyas about it in Masechta Tzemura, about the details when the animal became pregnant. Whatever the case, the point is, the Tosfos says over here that one possibility, when he says Ki'imra, he may mean that he's comparing this food to an animal that was born to a chatas, where that animal is off limits. So therefore, that would be a valid neder. And again, it's a davar hanodru, because how did that baby get any kedusha in the first place? Was because you declared the mother a chatas. A third possibility, Tosfos says all of these possibilities I mentioned in the Yerushalmi on this Mishnah. Another possibility is you're comparing it to the ram that Avraham Avinu brought as a korban instead of Yitzchak. Again, that was a davar hanodru, Avraham designated as a korban. So therefore, now if you're saying Ki'imra, you might be having in mind the Eloi Shel Avraham Avinu, which is another example of a korban, which is off limits and therefore is a davar hanodru.
Was it Eloi
Ibor? Ibor Anodru, yeah. Vayalo Elo Tachas Beno, yeah. So if he says Ki'imra, then that works. Similarly, if he says Kedirim, if he says it should be like the pens, now a pen, not a pen as in what you write with, but a pen as in what there can be two kinds. A deer can be what you keep animals in, or it can be what you keep wood in. So it can mean, again, the pen where they keep the animals for the korbanos. What?
The Mishnah, Hakonis deer or something.
Hakonis soin ladir, right? That's an example, yeah. They're good. So deer can mean an animal pen. It can also mean a place where you keep wood. There was a chamber in the Beis Mikdash called Lishkas Dir Ha'etzim. There was another one called Lishkas HaKorban, where they kept Lishkas HaPloim, where they kept animals for the korbanos. So Kadirim can mean, again, like either of them. Either he's comparing it to the animals that are in the pen for korbanos, or he's comparing it to the wood that's in the pen for the korbanos. Either one of those are off limits to you because they belong to Hekdash. In fact, Tosfos says that is why it uses Kadirim in the plural, because the meaning, it can mean either one of those, either the animal pen or the wood pen. Next, Ke'etzim. If he says it should be like the wood, which would be like the wood, it could be like the wood of the Ma'arocha, the wood that they set up as the wood pile on the Mizbeach, or specifically it could be like the Shnei Zirei Eitzim, the two logs of wood that they would put every day on the Ma'arocha before they bring the Korban Tamid. Ke'ishim, similarly, if he says that this food should be to me like the fire of the Mizbeach, which is also off limits, you can't just take fire from the Mizbeach.
Right.
Especially, in fact, by the way, there's a Gemara in Yuma that points out the fire on the Mizbeach, especially during the first Beis Hamikdash, had a property of it. A regular flame is very insubstantial. There's no actually mamoshes to the flame. You think about it, flame is just hot gases burning. You can't actually feel anything over there. The fire on the Mizbeach, it says in Yuma, in the first Beis Hamikdash at least, actually had a substance to it. It was actually literally a substance that had mamoshes to it. So therefore, in other words, the point is, a flame in and of itself, maybe me'ila doesn't apply to it because it doesn't really have any substance.
Is that a different kind of fire?
It was a different kind of fire. It was a fire min hashamayim, yeah. It was, but on the other hand, it means that it had a more mamoshus in the world. You actually had a thickness there, right? So, so therefore, So that, in other words, that, so that's that. In other words, the point is, if let's say, for example, so there's a Mishnah, for example, someplace that mentions that if you have a coal that belonged to Hektish and a person uses it, then he'd be chayiv from the ilah, because a coal has substance. But if you have, let's say, a flame by itself, imagine, for example, how do you have a flame without a coal or something? Is, let's say, for example, you smear a keli with oil, and then you light the oil on fire. Or like, think of, for example, nowadays, if people light their hats on fire at Simchas, so what do? They pour alcohol on the hat, and the alcohol is burning, not the hat itself. So the fire itself has no mamashes. You're not necessarily committing me'ilah with that. Still, there can be an issur to use that fire if it came from the Mizbeach, but all the more so when we're talking about the fire on the Mizbeach from the first Beis HaMikdash, which actually had substance to it, then literally the dinim of me'ilah would apply to it just like anything else of substance from the Beis HaMikdash. So again, therefore, when a person says ki'ishim, he's saying this food should be like the fire on the Mizbeach, then it also amounts to saying that it's off limits to me. Similarly, if he says kamizbeach, if he says like the mizbeach itself, where we would understand him to mean the korbanos that are brought on the mizbeach, or for that matter, it could even conceivably mean the mizbeach itself. The mizbeach itself is built out of funds of bedek habayis, built out of funds that are given to Hektish. So therefore, it has the din of Hektish itself. It's off limits. You can't go use the mizbeach or any part of it for your own purposes. Kehechel. Similarly, if you mention the hechel, where again, it doesn't have to mean the hechel itself. It could mean the korban. So the Rosh explains with all these things, it means the things that are brought on them. So kehechel would be likely like the korbanos that are brought in the hechel, namely in particular the todas is brought in the hechel. Or again, it could mean the hechel itself. Ki Yerushalayim, or if he says that I'm making this food like Yerushalayim. So nader be'echad mikol m'sham sham mizbeach, or if he made his neder with anything that is used to serve on the mizbeach. For example, let's say he were to say that I'm making this food should be considered to me, let's say, like the pitchforks that they use on the mizbeach, or like the mizrokos, like the basins that they use to collect the blood to put on the mizbeach or whatever. So all of those, afapishalei, he's kir korban, even though he didn't mention the word korban with any of those, hareza nader b'korban, nevertheless, it's considered that he made a neder by comparing this food to a korban. Because again, by saying ki'imra, for example, he means to compare it to the lamb of the korban.
What's wrong with that?
So wait, Kirushalayim would say, because Kirushalayim would mean like the korbanos that are brought in Yerushalayim. But wait one second. Rabbi Yehuda ayma ha'imi Yerushalayim ayma klum. Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person says Yerushalayim in his neder, then it doesn't count for anything. We're going to discuss in the Gemara, actually, that there were two different ways of understanding Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Is it that he's only saying if you say Yerushalayim, then it doesn't count, but if you say ki Yerushalayim, then it would count? Or is it, because if you just say Yerushalayim, it amounts to saying I'm making a neder in the name of Yerushalayim. That's not a neder. On the other hand, if you say that, on the other hand, you say ki Yerushalayim, then it could mean like the korbanos that are brought in Yerushalayim. Right. So wait one second. So here, so the Rosh explains like this. So the Rosh explains there's two different ways of understanding the one is to say like this. We know that parts of Yerushalayim, in particular the walls and the towers and whatever of Yerushalayim, we learned about this towards the end of Ksubas, they can use the Shiore Halishka to fix and to build those. There's the Machza Shekel that they collect and put in a chamber in the Beis Mikdash. Three times a year they go take out money from that to buy the korbanos and to pay the other operating expenses of the Beis Mikdash. Eventually you have at the end of the year there's often money left over. That leftover money is called Shiore Halishka, and among the things they can use it for is for the infrastructure of Yerushalayim. So one way of looking at it then is to say, since they come from Shiore Halishka, which ultimately belonged to Hektish, that was Machzah Shekel that people gave, then that has Kedusha as well. So therefore, when a person says Ki Yerushalayim, then it means he's comparing it to a Davar HaNadar. He's comparing this food to something which gains its Kedusha through a Neder. So now, one possibility, again, is that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with that. And the other possibility is that he would agree, and he would say only, as he's saying, if you say Yerushalayim, it doesn't count, but if you say Ki Yerushalayim, it would count. The same way, in other words, as we're saying, if you just say korban, then that's not enough. Because korban, we're going to learn later on in the Gemara, that in a couple of days, that if a person were to say korban, korban, such and such, then it amounts to saying a shvua by a korban. That's not a valid shvua, and it's not a valid neder either. Only if it compares it to a korban, then we can talk about. So anyway, that's what the Rosh says. Another way of understanding it is that we can be talking about, Tosfos points out, we can be talking about, what does he mean when he mentions Yerushalayim? is he mentioned, does he mean the intrinsic kedusha of Yerushalayim? Well, the fact that Yerushalayim has a kedusha is not a dover hanodur. That's not something where, to begin with, it was made by a neder. It was made. The Beis Mikdash is built over there, therefore the place has kedusha. On the other hand, are you talking about the actual infrastructure of Yerushalayim? Like we said, that can be brought from Shiari Alishka, so therefore that's a valid Dover HaNadur. Or if not, then we could say, sort of like you're saying, a lot of people live in Yerushalayim. You have wood there, you have stones there, which are all chulin. Those don't necessarily have the intrinsic kedusha of their own. So therefore, so that also is included. So we're going to see in the Gemara, there are two different Tanoim within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, what they hold about if a person uses Yerushalayim in a net. But these are various ways of explaining why it is that it might be considered a neder, why is there a possibility that even if he says Kir Shalayim, it might not be a neder, or why it might be a neder is based on these different considerations of what kind of kedusha are we talking about, and where is the source of that kedusha. So the Gemara starts off, Savruha. Now the Chachamim thought to say, my lachulin. What does it mean when a person says lachulin? So as we said, it means loy lachulin leve ela korban. It amounts to saying this should not be chulin; rather, this should be considered as if it was a korban. Now the Ran explains that many times. Now, like this, many times when the Gemara starts off by saying svaruha, we thought such and such. Many times the Gemara is going to end up slogging that up and saying that no, it's not necessarily like that. But the Ran says over here, not over here. This is going to remain lamaskana as well. Not all the Rishonim agree with that. There are Rishonim, Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahar, I think, is one of them, and some others who say that, who will explain the following piece of Gemara that we're going to get to on Omid Beis, that may understand it differently, that may understand that, after all, we're not necessarily even talking about that. There could be a different reason. We'll talk about it on Omid Beis. We'll get more into that. But according to the Ran, this Svaruha remains the Maskona as well. This is one of those rare times when you have this expression Svaruha, and it ends up being that that's how it stays. Anyway, so we think to say, to begin with, that lachulin means loy lachulin levi ela korban, means we're saying it won't be chulin, rather, by implication, it'll be a korban. Well, the question is, mani masnissin? Well, the question is, who would our Mishnah be like? E Reb Meir, would we say that our Mishnah is like Reb Meir, where we usually would, stam Mishnah Reb Meir? Well then, lesle mikla lavata shemeah hein. The fact is, we find that Reb Meir does not hold of this concept that just because you said something negative, automatically you can infer the positive from it. And we know that, the Tanan, we learn in a Mishnah and Kiddushin, Reb Meir Oimer, kol Tanai she'ena kitnai b'nei God or b'nei Reuven, ain't a Tanai. That when you're making a Tanai, it has to be like the Tanai of b'nei God and b'nei Reuven. When b'nei God and b'nei Reuven wanted their portion in Ebra Yaudin, so after Moshe tells them off for it, thinking that they don't want to go into Eretz Israel, they say, no, we'll set up cities and pens for our animals or whatever over here, and we'll go fight. And we'll go fight in Eretz Canaan to help conquer it for the rest of the Shvatim, and then we'll come back over here. So fine, Moshe makes an official deal with them. He calls in the Nesiim of the Shvatim, and he says to them, "Im Yavru b'nei God u'b'nei Reuven itchem es ha-Yarden, if b'nei God and b'nei Reuven cross the Yarden and they help you conquer Eretz Yisrael, then unasatem lahem es Eretz Agila, then you should give them this land as their inheritance. V'im lo Yavru chalutzim itchem, and if they don't go across armed together with you, then they're going to be given a portion among you in Eretz Canaan." So we see, in other words, that he had to spell out the positive and the negative. You couldn't just say one and we'll infer the other one from it. So then Reb Meir says that applies across the board whenever you're making a Tanai, and then you have to have that. You have to have several other rules also that it talks about in the Gemara and Kedushin that we learned from those Psukim, Hein Kodim Lalav and so forth. But anyway, what's important for our purposes over here is that Reb Meir is saying you have to spell out both sides of it. Well, according to Reb Meir, so what that you say lachulin, and we're going to understand that it means loichulin. So what? You're saying this is not chulin, but what is it? You didn't say. So it's not necessarily that you're implying it's not chulin, therefore it must be kodshim, because Rebbe doesn't hold of that concept. So our Mishnah can't be like him. Elo Rabbi Yehuda. So evidently, we would have to assume that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, why would we do that? Because usually when we have a machlokas Rebbe Meir, who is the one who argues most of the time with Rebbe Meir, is Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, if we're not going to say that our Mishnah is like Rebbe Meir, then the next logical thing is to say that it's like Rabbi Yehuda. No, they were chaverim. They were both talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. But most of the time in Shas, you usually have you have certain chachamim where you have somebody as their regular bar plug. The same way as, let's say, Abaya says something 99% of the time, who's going to argue with him is Rav. Rabba is going to have Rabbi Yosef and so forth. So the same way among the Tanoim, you have Rabbi Eliezer among the Tanoim. Rabbi Eliezer is usually going to be against Rabbi Yeshua. The same way, Rabbi Meir is usually going to be against Rabbi Yehuda. So we're going to assume.
Rabba against who is going to against Rabba?
Against Rava is usually Rabbi Yosef. Yeah. Rav is usually Shmuel, yeah. So yeah. So Amos say, so if you're going to say our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, now Rabbi Yehuda is not requiring the Tanai like B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, but Amos Sefer, but look at the end of our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yerushalayim Omer Klum. We're saying that if he says if a person says Yerushalayim in his neder, that it doesn't count for anything. Mid Sefer Rabbi Yehuda Reishalav Rabbi Yehuda. But Pashtus, if only in the last line of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda saying something, then the implication is up until that point, it wasn't Rabbi Yehuda. Must have been somebody else, usually Rabbi Meir. And then Rabbi Yehuda comes in and says that I have a different opinion about a person says Yerushalayim in a neder. So then in that case, the question is, who is our Mishnah like? Now, the Ran points out, there is in fact, in Kiddushin over there, when Rabbi Meir says that you need a Tanai, like B'nai God and B'nai Reuven, you do have a Tana, Rabbi Chanina, who argues with him. However, the Ran says that the fact is, our Mishnah did not mention Rabbi Chanina at all. It's fine to say a Stam Mishnah is usually like Rabbi Meir. Sometimes we're going to have a Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir. We may say it's like Rabbi Yehuda instead. But to bring in Rabbi Chanina from a completely different sugya, where he's not even mentioned over here, the Gemara does not want to assume that our Mishnah should be like Rabbi Chanina, because then it should have said so. So the answer is, Kula Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is that you could say our entire Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, V'hochi katani, because what the Mishnah means is, Sher Rabbi Yehuda oima ha'ima Yerushalayim lo'oma klo. So in other words, it's not that Rabbi Yehuda is saying a different opinion. Rabbi Yehuda is clarifying that it's true that if a person were to say ki Yerushalayim, then it would work as a valid neder. But if he just says Yerushalayim, then not, because then it would amount to saying I'm making a neder in the name of Yerushalayim, that I won't do such and such, and that's not a valid neder. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing, he's just clarifying what he's saying.
So
now it doesn't matter whether he's in Yerushalayim or not. The point is that if he says that this food should be Yerushalayim to me, then Rabbi Yehuda would say that doesn't count for anything. But if he said that, because that's what it means, it's meaningless. But if he says it should be like Yerushalayim, then we understand it means, so then like Yerushalayim means, as we were saying just before you came in, that for example, it means that the walls and the towers of Yerushalayim are built out of Shiorei Halishka, they're built out of leftover Machzor Shekel that was not used for the Korbanos or whatnot. So therefore, in other words, it comes from Hekdesh, and therefore it's considered a Dover HaNodr. It's something where you make a neder in order to make, in order to give the stink dusha. So the question is, is it in fact, actually before we get to that next point within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, the Ran makes an interesting point over here. He says the Gemara explains in Shavuos that even Rabbi Meir only require so what are we saying? Rabbi Meir does not hold of miklal lava at the shemei hein, that just because you've said a no automatically implies the converse yes. But there's a Gemara in Shavuos where Rabbi Meir himself says that he does hold of that concept when it comes to matters of isur v'heter. He just doesn't hold of it in dini mominus. Well, here we're talking isur v'heter. So why are we thinking that it shouldn't work like Rabbi Meir? And so the Ran explains, the Gemara explains over there that Rabbi Meir would say that anything that in any, it's true that there's a difference between isur and mamon, but any isur that involves something having to do with mamon is considered like mamon for that purpose. So for example, Rabbi Meir is not going to hold of miklal lava at the shemei hein by soita. Soita is a matter of isur, she's also to her husband or not, but there's a mamon component as well. Does she forfeit her ksuba or not? The same way, for example, when it comes to eidos also can involve mamon. Only, for example, the Gemara mentions over there in Shavuos that, for example, Rabbi Meir would say, let's say, when it comes to a person drinks wine, a Kohen drinks wine, and then goes, does the avodah, is he chayev misa b'dei shamayim for it? Now, the Pasuk never says in so many words that if a person drinks wine and does the avodah, he's chayev misa b'dei shamayim. What it does say is, Hashem tells Aaron, yayin v'sheicher al teish, don't drink wine, v'loy samusu, and you won't die. So now, if we say miklal lava at shemei hein, then the implication is, and if they do drink wine, then they will die. Rabbi Meir doesn't hold a miklal lava at shemei hein when it comes to isurim, and therefore he says, in fact, the kohen is not chayiv misa for it; he's only over on a lot. So, because that's a matter of pure isur, there's no mammon involved. But anytime there's anything of mammon involved, then Rabbi Meir is going to say miklal lava at shemei hein. Anything that involves mammon, you have to be clearer. Well, here nedarim involves a mammon component, because what are you saying? This thing is off limits to me, meaning I can't have anah from it, meaning I can't use it for any mammon purpose. Therefore, it can be considered like a dovish of mammon, and Rabbi Meir is going to say that, and is Rabbi Meir is going to say that you can't say miklal lava at shemei. So therefore, so that's why we're forced to say that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. But and we have to reinterpret the last line of the Mishnah to say not that Rabbi Yehuda is arguing with what came before, but that Rabbi Yehuda is clarifying that there's a difference between saying ki Yerushalayim versus saying Yerushalayim. So if we were to say this food is to me like Yerushalayim, it would be a valid neder, because then we say that means that he's talking about the physical infrastructure of Yerushalayim, which is created through a neder, which is created through Machzor Shekel, the leftover Machzor Shekel that's used for it, as opposed to if he says Yerushalayim, then that wouldn't count as a neder, because he's not comparing it to anything. So the Gemara asked, is it in fact the case appointed of Yehuda that if you said ki Yerushalayim, then it would be osir, which is what you're telling me, that Rabbi Yehuda does not argue on the word ki Yerushalayim, he's just saying there's a difference between ki Yerushalayim versus Yerushalayim. But we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Yehuda, even if he said like Yerushalayim, then he hasn't said anything useful, unless he makes a neder on something which is offered in Yerushalayim. So if you were to say, again, if you were to say this food is to me like a korban, then it would work. But if you were to say, or anything of the other things, that's brought on the Mizbeach. But if he says, like Yerushalayim, then we don't assume that he's saying a valid neder. Either because we say that then, so the Mefarish over here printed under Rashi says that Yerushalayim does not have that level of Kedusha to be considered a Dover HaNadur. It just says, Delo Mikadshi Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is not considered to have that level of Kedusha. And the Rosh and Tosfos discuss different angles on it that we mean, in other words, that he's talking about he's talking about only the wood and stones of Yerushalayim, which don't have any kedusha, or even if he's talking about the physical infrastructure, the walls and whatnot, maybe he doesn't hold that those come from Shiori Alishka, maybe he holds that those are built using other chulin sources, and there's no Dabra Nodu involved. So, or he could be talking about the intrinsic kedusha of Yerushalayim, which is not a Dabra Nodu, because that intrinsic kedusha comes from Hashem. So therefore, the bottom line is that the Braisa is saying that even if he says ki Yerushalayim, so it doesn't count for anything. So how can we say that in our Mishnah, he says that ki Yerushalayim would work, but Yerushalayim does not work? And the answer is kula Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is still, the whole Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Utrei Tanoi, a little bit of Rabbi Yehuda. You have two Tanoim disagreeing within what Rabbi Yehuda says. So one Tana would say, the Tana of our Mishnah would say that when he says ki Yerushalayim, he implicitly means the things that are offered in Yerushalayim. So therefore that works. The Tana of the Braisa, within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, would say that he only means the Eitzim Va'avonim. He only means the wood and the stones and the physical things that you find around Yerushalayim that are not bought from Trumas Alishka and have no particular kedusha, and therefore he has to be having in mind something that's something Dover HaNodu, something that's actually offered on the Mizbeach.
We see that Meister Sheni has to be Dafke in the walls.
Yeah, there's no question Yerushalayim has a certain kedusha as far as certain dinim, but is that enough? Therefore, if he says ki Yerushalayim, that's a valid neder. So the Tana of the Braisa holds within Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that no, that's not enough to make a neder. Only if he says like something which is offered in Yerushalayim. Okay.
Which one would that be?
So that would be, for example, if he says kedavar akorav Yerushalayim, like something which is offered in Yerushalayim, or he used any of the other words like he used in the Mishnah. If he said ki imra, then fine. We would also say that it means like the sheep that are offered on the Mizbeach, and the sheep are a davar hanodur, and the same thing all the other examples. The Gemara continues. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, ha chulin. The Braisa says rather chulin. If he says the word chulin, or if he says ha chulin. So in the Mishnah we mentioned la chulin, and we understood. We said that means we break it down to the word la chulin, which means not chulin, implying we said it means not chulin, but rather kodshin. And we said that wouldn't work according to the mayor, but it would work according to the Yehuda. So now, what if he says chulin? Or ha-cholin, the-cholin, or ki-cholin, like-cholin, then bein sha-oichalach, or bein sha-loi-oichalach, whether he follows that up with saying that I will eat by you, or whether that I won't eat by you, mutter, either way, that is mutter. Because if he says, for example, cholin sha-oichalach, obviously that's not a neder, because what is he doing? He's saying this food that I would have eaten by yours should be considered like cholin. Fine, then that means it's mutter for him to eat. The same thing if he says ha-chulin and so forth. Even if he says shaloi oichaloch, the Ran explains, since we're talking according to the mayor who doesn't hold him, so if you say ha-chulin, loi oichaloch, we don't understand that to mean that chulin, I won't eat of yours, implying, in other words, that what I would have eaten of yours should not be chulin, but rather kodshim, because your mayor doesn't hold of that concept of mekla lavat shemayin. He has to spell it out. So therefore, that would work. On the other hand, if he says la chulin sha'oichat, the Gemara is going to explain in a couple of lines that this braisa is according to the Meir. On the other hand, if he says la chulin sha'oichat loch osir, on the other hand, if he says la chulin that I would have eaten of yours, then osir, then that is osir. La chulin loy oichat loch mutter. But if he says la chulin, I will not eat of yours, then it would be mutter, because the two of them kind of cancel each other. The two labs kind of cancel each other out. Now, the Rambam actually has a big problem with that girsa, lachol and sha'icha lach osir, because again, if we're saying that we're going according to the mayor, then there's no mikla lava at the shemeh hain. So first he brings that some people say we taka shouldn't be gurdas the word lachol and sha'icha lach at all. We had it in the Mishnah, but we said our Mishnah is according to the Yehuda. In the Braise, if we're going to say that the Braise is according to the mayor, then how would it work? Then he brings from the Raivad, though, another possibility that the word in this braisa is not lachulin, but rather lachalin, which therefore means like chala, as in the chala that you give to a kohen. So now, not the chala you give to a kohen, rather, but chalos toida, as in the loaves of bread that come with a korban toida, which are part of a korban. Well, then, in that case, he's not saying, so in that case, what is he saying? He's saying, lachalin sha'oichaloch, that what I would have eaten of yours should be considered like chalos toida, and therefore it'll be awesome. So the Gemara says, let's figure it out. So therefore, so if he says lachulin sha'oichaloch osir, but if he says lachulin loy oichaloch mutter, because then it kind of cancels each other out. Then he's saying it should not be considered like chulin. I won't eat of yours. Well, then that cancels it out. In other words, what I would eat of yours is considered chulin. Well, then there's no problem with it. So the question is, Reisha Mani Rameyuhi. Now in the Reisha, when we're saying that chulin or hachulin or whatever, he says whether he says oichalach or loy oichalach, that would be appointed a mayor. The less let me call about the Shemehain. Where we're saying that according to him, you don't learn one from the other. When you say a lab, you don't automatically deduce a hain from it. So in other words, So if he says chulin loy oichaloch, then it would be mutter. We don't understand him to be saying that what I'm not eating of yours is going to be considered chulin, implying what I would eat of yours should be not considered chulin. Rav Meir doesn't hold it back, he said. So the first part of the braisa says according to him. Well, aim a sefer, but look at the next part. La chulin loy oichaloch mutter. We're saying if he says la chulin, I will not eat of yours mutter. What do you mean, Vatnan? But we learn later on and in the next paragraph, La korban loy oichaloch, Rav Meir oser. That if he says la korban, I will not eat of yours. Rav Meir says it's oser. V'kashalon, and we asked on that in those gemaras later on. Holesli miklal lava atashemehain. Given that he does not hold of miklal lava atashemehain, so when he says, in other words, what does la korban mean? So far, we're understanding based on everything we said so far. It sounds like la korban means not a korban. So in other words, what I won't eat from yours will not be a korban, implying, and what I would eat of yours would be a korban, and therefore it's off limits to me. Well, Rabbi said, Rabbi Meir doesn't hold a whole list, let me call Lav Atah Shemei Hain. So how would la korban, loy oichaloch, constitute a valid neder according to the Meir? V'omer Abba, nasa ka'omer la korban yehei. And Rabbi Abba explains over there that it means because we break up the sentence then. We don't say la korban la oichaloch means that what I'm not eating of yours should not be considered a korban, implying what I am available to eat of yours should be considered like a korban, and therefore it's also, rather we break it up. We say la korban yehei. We say that he's saying that it should be, again, the word la korban can have two meanings in itself. It can mean for a korban, or it can mean not a korban. Again, stam nadorim lahachmir. So we're going to say it means this food should be for a korban, lefichach loy oichaloch. Therefore, I will not eat it of yours. So in other words, not la korban loy oichaloch as one big statement, but two separate statements. La korban, this thing should be for korban, and because it's for korban, loy oichaloch, therefore I'm not eating it of yours. Well, if we apply the same logic over here, hochika amalei, shouldn't we assume when he says la chulin shaloy oichaloch and the braisa is saying that it's mutter, shouldn't we use the same logic? Shouldn't we assume loy chulin lehevi, He should say, he's saying, it's not to be considered cholin, rather it is to be considered kodshim. Lefichach loy oichaloch, and because of that, I will not eat it of yours. So how does that work? According to the mayor. And again, the answer is, hay tana sovelach rab meir b'choder or polagale b'choder. Again, we could say that Tana of this Braisa agrees with her mayor on one din and disagrees with him on the other. He agrees with the idea that just because you said a negative, we can't infer a positive from it. But he disagrees with him on the one detail as far as korban, as far as the idea that you can break up the sentence and say, and then say, la korban, lo yochaloch, would mean la korban, and therefore lo yochaloch. So he would disagree with that. So applying that over here, therefore, we can't break up a sentence and say, la cholin, it's not to be cholin. Therefore, la yuchaloch, this Tana would hold that you can't do that. Now, the Ran has a long explanation over here that there are a few different ways of explaining what we just said in the Gemara over here. First of all, again, we can say, like the Raven says, that the word over here was not la cholin, but rather la chalin, and we're talking about chala as in the chalas toida, which are osir. And so therefore, so why don't we say, so why don't we say that if he says lachalin lo'uchaloch, it should be considered to mean this should be for chalis toida, it should be considered as if it was chalis toida, and therefore I wouldn't eat it of yours. And therefore we're saying that the Tana of this Braisa disagrees with her mayor about that idea of being able to break up a sentence like that. So then we have two more lines, we'll tell the two dots, and then we're going to understand a whole different way of understanding what we just said about the words lacholin or lachalin or whatever. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, hada amar lacholin, v'hada amar lo lacholin. There's a difference between whether he says lacholin or whether he says not for cholin. Where then, demashma lo lehebe cholin, alak korban, when he says not for cholin, then we can understand that it means that it should not be cholin, but rather a korban, as opposed to if he says lacholin, meaning, in other words, the Ran says, there's a difference to begin with. All this time we've been assuming, whenever we have a lamed at the beginning of the word, we're always assuming that it has a patach underneath it. And once we do, then we're saying that that patach, the lamed with a patach, we're understanding as the word lo, which means not, and therefore we're saying it negates whatever comes next. So la korban, for example, should have to mean not a korban. La cholin should have to mean not cholin, and so forth. Now Rav Ashi is saying that there's a difference between whether there's a shva or a patach involved. If he says le cholin, so in other words, when the braisa rather is saying le cholin, that we don't have to say, says Rav Ashi, that any tanoim are disagreeing within what Rav Meir is saying. There's a difference between whether he says lecholin or lacholin, because if he says lecholin, clearly it cannot mean not cholin, because the lamed with a shva, there's no way that you can reinterpret that to mean the word la, which means not. Therefore, necessarily, what it means is he's saying that. What is he saying? That what I'm not going to eat of yours would be cholin, implying what I would eat of yours would be a korban. But we're saying that according to the mayor, that doesn't matter. We don't say we don't infer one from the other. Therefore, just because we can interpret what he's saying, lecholin, loy oichaloch, which the converse would be what I would eat from yours is not cholin, but rather kodshim. The mayor doesn't hold of that concept. On the other hand, when he said la cholin with a patach, then there's a difference. Then we're saying, in other words, so the Ran says it's not even, you don't even necessarily have a case in the Braisa that mentions that case of la cholin with a patach. That we had in the Mishnah, and we said the Mishnah was according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Rav Ashi is saying that when you say la cholin, then there can be the difference. Then we can say that it does mean la cholin, that it means not cholin. And it would come out, by the way, now the Ran doesn't spell this out. The Ran is saying that the Ran said on Omar Aleph, the Maskana, we end up saying that that our Mishnah is not like Rav Meir. But there are Rishonim, Rabbi Avraham and Ahor and others, who say based on this statement of Rav Ashi, after all, the Gemara may be rejecting what we said at the beginning of the Sugya, that the Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yehuda, and saying, after all, you could make that the Mishnah work according to Rav Meir as well. Namely, that the Mishnah would be talking about, we said, lacholin with a patach, whereas the Brai says, talking about, we said, lacholin with a shva.
Do we have a case of that?
So that's the thing. In the Braisa, all we had is, he says, l'cholin sh'oichaloch osu, l'cholin loy oichaloch mutter. So the Braisa, we don't necessarily have in the Braisa itself a distinction between patach and shva, but Rav Ashi is saying you can make such a distinction. You can say in the Braisa is talking about what he said with a Shva, but the implication would be that if he says it with a Patach, then in fact it would be also. So the Braisa is not spelling that out. According to the Ran, we're not even necessarily saying Rav Meir would hold that. But according to Rabbeinu Avraham in Ahur, we would in fact say that that goes back to the Mishnah then. In the Mishnah also, we can understand that he said it with a patach and that Rabbi Meir would also agree that that constitutes saying loch chul and lo ircha loch. And to that extent, he will accept. It's true in general, Rabbi Meir holds, we don't hold miklal lav atashemehein, but there are cases where he does. And this could be one of those cases. And therefore, after all, it could be made to work even according to the Meir. So then the Ran goes on to say, if we have the girsa like the Raiva did, where the word is not chulin with a vav, but rather chalin with a rather chalin without the vav, meaning chalos toida, then we would understand. Then Rav Ashi's answer is like this: when he says lichalin, then it means it's for chalos toida. So in other words, it's the equivalent of saying that I won't eat it because it's a korban. And we said Rav Meir says even if he says lekorban lo oichaloch, and it amounts to saying this is for korban, therefore I won't eat it of yours. We break it up into two sentences. On the other hand, again, if he says lachalin, then it would amount to say that. It would amount to say this is not for chalas truma. So what are you going to say? It's not chalas toida, rather. It's not what I won't eat won't be chalas toida, implying and what I would eat would be chalas toida. Again, Rav Meir does not hold of l'miklal labat ha-shemehe. So that's another way of explaining the Gemara over here, that we're not talking about chulin and then whether it is or isn't chulin, but rather whether it's chalin, whether it's chalas toida or not. We're chalas toida, after all, are a form of korban, and therefore they're a type of korban, and therefore we can be talking about whether he's comparing this food to a korban and saying because it's considered like a korban, therefore I won't eat it of yours, or are we not saying that?
So then what he says?
So it could always be. It doesn't have to be that what he's saying means anything. It could always be that he thought he's making a neder, but the loshen that he used is not a valid neder. The same way, for example, as we said, let's say we talked about yesterday, if he uses kinuye kinuyin. The same way, for example, if he says makanamna, we said that's not a valid neder, even though he meant to declare a konam, because he took the word konam itself, which is a kinui, and then created a new word out of it. The same way over here, we would say, and Rav Meir is saying in this braisa, that if he were to say lochulin loy oichaloch, or even lachulin, or even lachalin, or whatever loy oichaloch, the tana of this braisa would hold that. And again, Rav Ashi is saying this is not even arguing on Rav Meir. This is Rav Meir himself would hold that does not constitute a valid neder, because in order to make it a valid neder, we'd have to say miklal lavat hashemehain, and Rav Meir does not hold of that concept. At least when it comes to things involving mamun, which, as the Ran said on Omer Aleph, Nedarim include a mamun component in the sense that you're saying that this thing is off limits and is also for me to use.
It's fun.
Right, because there's money involved, in other words. So in short, again, according to the Ran, we come out saying that still the Arm Mishnah is only according to Rabbi Yehuda. And in fact, he says explicitly, La Halacha, we would hold like Rabbi Yehuda. Given that the Stam Mishnah over here is like him, then that would mean the Halacha has to be like him. And that means in general, and that would mean also in general, when it comes to a Tanai, you would not necessarily need Tanai Bnei Godu Bnei Reuven for other areas in Halacha as well. Now that particular point that you shouldn't need it for other areas in halacha, most other Rishonim disagree with that. The Rambam brings an opinion of the Gaonim that the concept of Tnai Kofel and all the other things of Tnai Bnei Godu Bnei Reuven applies only by Kiddushin and Gittin, but not by other things. The Rambam himself disagrees. He said, look, the original Tnai Bnei Godu Bnei Reuven had nothing to do with Gittin and Kiddushin. It had to do purely with Dinei Mamonos, and you see that it was required. So therefore, you need Tnai Bnei Godu Bnei Reuven. It's true. In general, you need that. But nevertheless, anyway, we still could say, here we're not really talking about Tnai per se, we're talking about he wants to make something also to him. So we could still say that the halacha is, that the halacha could still be that miklal lavat ha-shemayahein, that yes, when he says, for example, lach chulin sho'ich halach, we understand that to mean what I would have eaten of yours should not be chulin, rather it should be considered kodshim, and therefore we can say, like our Stam Mishnah does, that would work. So the Ran generalizes for that and says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, so the other Rishonim don't agree that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in general as far as the matter of miklal lavat ha-shemayahein, but they would hold the halacha rather would be like the halacha would be like a mayor. You do need tnai b'nei godu b'nei ruven, or you need a double tnai and pain code malav and all the other rules. But we can say in things like this that are not really a tnai per se, we can say that you have something that it says a lav, and you can deduce the hain from it, and vice versa. In the case of, for example, the shesuya yayin, where it talks about over there, where the mayor holds that the person drinks wine and does the avoda, he's only over a lav. The other chachamim will hold that in fact he is chayiv misa, because since it says v'loy samusu, then the implication is that if they do drink wine, then they will. So, and then similarly in other areas of halacha, we can say that you say something in the negative, like in our mishnah, you say lachulin, which implies lo chulin, loy oich halach, and we infer from that that it means what I would have eaten of yours is considered kodshim and therefore is also. Okay, so that's the maskana. So again, according to the Ran, it comes out our mishnah is only like the mayor. According to some other rishonim, it can be that we say, according to the Yehuda, says the Ran, according to some other rishonim, we can say that in the end, with Rabashi's answer, we can make our mishnah work even according to the mayor, because we have the possibility of breaking up his statement into two parts.
Which would be,
for example, the same way as in the next parak, he says, La carbon, la echalach, and we break it up. La carbon, this thing should be considered for carbon, therefore, la echalach, and therefore we would say we would apply something similar over here. And then we'll so tomorrow in the Gemara, Bez Hashem, we're going to talk about. So here we talk about in the Mishnah about being matfis b'davar hanodur. What happens if this davar hanodur is something which at one time was osur and now is mutter? Is that still considered a davar hanodur in terms of being matfis with it? So we'll talk about to associate this thing that you want to make osur with that thing. Does that work when now this thing is mutter, but there was a period during which it was osur? You think about korbanos. So that way, korbanos have a period when they're osur until you shech them and sprinkle the blood on the mizbeach. Afterwards, they become mutter to eat. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow in the Gemara. That's the shem.
If someone's been told thing with a korbanoshlam, which part of them you can eat? Would that be considered a good?
That's part of what we're going to discuss tomorrow. Because after all, shlomim itself, you're allowed to eat. There was a period when the shlomim were not allowed to be
eaten.
No, but that's the point. In other words, that's the first thing we're going to discuss tomorrow. We're going to start Boi Rabchama, Boi Romi Bachama, precisely that point. He says that if he uses Zivcha Shlomim La'acha Zukas Domim, or we're going to see exactly what the case is. Is he talking about as this thing was at one point usur, or right now as it is where it's mutter? That's the point we're going to take up in the Gemara tomorrow. That's the shame.
Okay, but the carbon shlomim, not every part of the parts are never.
There are parts. Obviously, if we were to say that's like the imurim, then obviously we're not talking about. We're talking about if he says like the meat of the shlomim, where the meat of the shlomim after zvikas damim is mutter. So that's the point we're going to take up. That's the point we're going to take up tomorrow. Part goes to the Kohenim and the rest goes to the Bible, right?
So you're never gonna have all of it.
You're not gonna have all of it, that's not what we're talking about. So we'll see, and then we'll see.
Okay,
Shabbat, everyone.